You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 15th, 2020, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, says we are now looking at a great day, an historic day, the beginning of the end, but we still have a few miles left to run in this race. He's talking about getting vaccines out across the nation and beginning to get some control over COVID via vaccine. There's an estimation that we have to have 75% of the populace get the vaccine if it's going to be effective. Some folks still not sure if they're going to do it. Now, Dr. Adams, says he will get the vaccine as soon as they say he can have it. They're trying to get it now, of course, to the most vulnerable, those in nursing homes and so forth, and the nation's frontline health care workers. The CDC does acknowledge you might, if you get the vaccine, you might have some side effects. It may range from fever, chills, headache. In other words, you might feel like you got COVID. They say that should be normal, kind of what folks get from many vaccines anyway. I was feeling fine until I got the vaccine. The question will be for you to make your decision, and we're waiting to see what's going to happen if some businesses are demanding employees get the vaccine. And then what if it becomes a demand for school children when they're not the most at risk? Now, many school districts have laws in effect now, state to state. If you're going to go to this particular school district, you must have numerous shots and immunization records for your child. Will this become the next one? In the meantime, while we're looking at moving forward with this, you get the naysayers on the other side that even though we are at this great breakthrough point and we did it in record time, warp speed, as the president said, naysayers such as CNN are still saying it won't save the U.S. from devastating months ahead, partly because of the holidays coming up, and also making one comment, vaccines are trickling across the U.S. In other words, making it clear that, in their opinion, Trump still waited too long. How long are they going to play that card once Biden gets in? If he does. The Food and Drug Administration did grant, by the way, emergency use of the first over-the-counter antigen test for COVID-19. Now, this can be used at home in individuals ages 2 and up, and on those not even showing symptoms. It is a first home test where you collect the sample and then you have a software application on a smartphone that will help you perform the test. They say it's 96% accurate. We'll wait to see how that plays out. In the meantime, we still had no final coronavirus relief bill. And a lot of Americans are hurting. And Senator Bernie Sanders calling on Democrat leaders, to reject a $748 billion bipartisan bill because he said it still does not have money in there providing money directly to families and individuals. Well, even Senator Hawley of Missouri had been pushing for that to happen. We do have numerous places across the nation where inmates have been freed from jail because they're trying to keep them from being exposed to COVID. And I still don't understand that. If they're in jail, they're in a confined area. If they get it, they're going to stay there. They're not going to be contaminating anyone else. And the Orange County Sheriff is pushing back against an order from a local Superior Court judge. He says it's absurd. He wants me to release 1,800 inmates. I have no intention of doing that. 1,800 inmates that, in many cases, are locked up for anything from child molestation to murder. He says, I'm not going to do it. All eyes are on the Northeast. We have a significant winter storm beginning to develop. We could see blizzard conditions and ice from the Mid-Atlantic to New England, 2 feet of snow or more. That's going to develop over the next few days into the weekend. Timing ahead of the Christmas break is good, and travel, but it might be the first of many. Oh, and Disney World in Florida, Orlando. Many guests on the rides, they get their pictures snapped at different times on an exciting ride, but they're not wearing a mask. Disney World is now digitally putting a mask on your face. Will they do that? Can't they wipe out that look of fear? Why not do that? Stand by for the next hour.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. Have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
That was, of course, President Trump on the night that he won the election. And Hillary Clinton had already called. In fact, he said, I just received a call. She congratulated us. She congratulated us on our victory, and I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. And they went on to say, Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time. We owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. He said everything right. He said everything that he should, being a man of class and showing class, I should say, at that point. But that very night, the resist movement was born. Because Hillary did not think she should have lost. She did not file various court challenges and raise issues, as we've seen Trump do this time around. But she had the mainstream media do all of the fighting for her. And therefore also helping create and give credibility to a Russian collusion story that never existed. And yet, while Trump has been battling and continues to battle and saying, I'm not ready to concede, Joe Biden last night after the electoral number came in, and by the way, the electoral count was exactly the same as it had been when he defeated Hillary. The electoral college count last night, official numbers, Biden 306, you only need 270, Trump 232. Those are exactly the same numbers when Trump defeated Hillary, 306 to 232. So Trump has been still fighting, thinking we still have some things wrong here. Now, when he made that statement, everybody come together, that got lost in the mainstream media. You never really heard them talk about his night, talking about one, congratulating Hillary for a fought campaign, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. You never heard that again on the mainstream media. So last night, when Biden comes forward and makes his remarks, it pretty much echoes what Trump said. But, of course, the reaction from the mainstream media, entirely different. Please listen.
We, the people, voted. Faith in our institutions held. The integrity of our elections remains intact. And now it's time to turn the page, as we've done throughout our history, to unite, to heal. As I said in this campaign, I will be president for all Americans. I'll work just as hard for those of you who didn't vote for me as I will for those who did.
Now, that was something Trump had also raised when he was making his speech that night. And before I get to it, you notice that Biden was kind of coughing and clearing his throat. Don't read anything into that. I mean, I have that problem a lot, certain times of the year, and I don't know if that's what he's suffering or not, but I've already heard people say, oh, see, it's a sign he's not doing well, and he coughed and scattered his words at times he wouldn't really mean it. Don't go down that road. Just take it for what it is. A guy having trouble getting his throat clear, he doesn't even have a chance to get a glass of water like I do sometimes, or to signal, Quentin, turn off the mic, let me clear my throat. So don't do that. But when he said, I will be a president for all the people, Trump said the same thing.
I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans. And this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people, I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country.
So again, that message got lost, ignored, buried by the mainstream media and the resist movement that was born that night against Trump. And now the very ones who carried out that assault are preaching to Trump supporters, be a good loser. Come on. Let's shake hands. Well, we can't shake hands, COVID, but, you know, kind of nod your head. Give me a little tip of the hat or something. Be nice. Quit fighting. And yet, Hillary Clinton told Joe Biden before the election, she said, Joe, do not concede that night. Continue to fight it and fight it and fight it. That's what she advised Joe Biden. And he would have had every legal right to pursue everything that Donald Trump has done. Everything. And if you really want to know, if you can be honest, if you can be honest and clearly decide that I will go with the way of truth and not a partisan approach, you would have to adopt what I consider that if all these situations were turned and there were questions about how votes were handled, how they came in, questions, suspicions about a water main break that meant nothing more than an overflowing toilet, or that votes were not going to be counted past a certain time and yet they were, or that the Dominion voting machines were all perfect and yet they were, by one most recent forensic exam, kicking out ballots at a much higher rate than they should have. And when they kicked them out, then they had to be handled by a person, not the machine. And again, opening up the door for possible fraud. If all of those cases I just listed had happened with the Democrats suffering a loss because of those kinds of things, I would say they have standing and a right, they have a constitutional right to pursue all of those as a possible case of evidence, at least allegations, that they got cheated in the election. And yet when you heard Joe Biden last night, or if you didn't, you're going to hear it now, when he goes on and on about the challenges that Trump has been going through, they would be the same challenges I would encourage Joe Biden to do if this situation were reversed, if I wanted to encourage him. But I'm just saying I would not fight against him. I would acknowledge you have a perfect right to do so. Please listen to Biden.
The Trump campaign brought dozens and dozens and dozens of legal challenges to test the result. They were heard again and again. And each of the times they were heard, they were found to be without merit. Time and again, President Trump's lawyers presented arguments to state officials, state legislatures, state and federal courts, and ultimately to the United States Supreme Court twice. They were heard by more than 80 judges across this country, and in every case, no cause or evidence was found to reverse or question or dispute the results.
He is right about that, but you also have to acknowledge in some cases they never got to present the actual evidence. And witnesses who came forward, there was no follow-up, no inquiry, no investigation, part of it being the time frame. So with the electoral count and ballots being tabulated and made official last night by the Electoral College, of course, it all goes to Congress now. Today, Senate leader Mitch McConnell made this statement on the floor.
So today I want to congratulate President-elect Joe Biden. The president-elect is no stranger to the Senate. He's devoted himself to public service for many years. I also want to congratulate the Vice President-elect, our colleague from California, Senator Harris. Beyond our differences, all Americans can take pride that our nation has a female Vice President-elect for the very first time.
And you've got many on the left saying, Trump, that's what you should be doing. That's exactly what you should do. He may do that at some point. But yeah, he's still trying to find some challenges. In my last hour, I had Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional expert from the Heritage Foundation. It is his opinion that there is very little, if any, route for Trump to go at this point. The only thing that might be in play would be some state legislatures, but all they can do really is look at what happened and try to make sure if there was fraud, it doesn't happen again. And, of course, the social media giants have done their job all along the way. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on them in the next segment, but I also believe that many who voted for Biden, Harris, maybe they did vote anti-Trump, like many for Trump were anti-Hillary. But I also really think that many Democrats who believe in some of the message I've been getting from Joe Biden and that Kamala's kind of been dancing around and trying to not make too public, they don't really know what's coming. You can look, especially if the Democrats win control of Georgia. If they win that January 5th race between two Republicans against two Democrats, you can expect for sure an assault weapons ban, additional background checks at points of sale, more points of sale, longer waits to complete background checks. Biden last November was asked by Anderson Cooper, so to gun owners out there who say, well, Biden administration means you're going to come for my guns, Biden's response, bingo, you're right. If you have an assault weapon, the matter of fact is they should be illegal, period. Well, what exactly is an assault weapon? You will not get a firm answer on that. In many cases, it's not much more powerful than a .22, but it's mocked up to make it look really nasty. Some call it a weapon of war. No soldier would carry some of those on the battlefield unless they were ordered to, and then they wouldn't like it. They will try to renew the 1994 federal, quote, assault weapons ban, which is a little more specific. And Kamala Harris has called for gun reforms as recent as yesterday. It was the date marking the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. More than two dozen killed, including 21st graders. And yes, that was a tragedy 8 years ago. But again, she's using the bodies and blood of victims, children, to again say we need more gun control. We have gun laws. If they're properly followed, that helps. But you, of course, realize we also have a law. Maybe some of you don't. Maybe I'm telling you something you don't know. We also have a law that says you can't kill someone. You can't kill someone. You do know that's a law, right? Not just a Ten Commandment rule, but a law on the books. You cannot kill someone. So anyone who's going to kill someone, they don't care what kind of gun law you want to create. And then also on the issue of immigration, even the New York Times is acknowledging Joe Biden's pro-immigration policies are already encouraging poor people to get ready to migrate to the U.S. They're gathering and starting caravans as far away as Guatemala because they think we want to be at the border the day Joe Biden is sworn in because we'll be allowed to come across the border without any trouble. And even Biden's people are acknowledging we may not be ready for this. No, you won't. When we come back, you want to hear from Alan Dershowitz, famed attorney, when it comes to that Article 230 that protects the social media companies. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The one thing that has to change is Section 230, which gives these so-called platforms immunity from any kind of lawsuit. And it gave them the immunity because they're supposed to be just platforms. Anything goes. But now you have Google, YouTube saying, no, we don't like people who tell us that the election may have been unfair. We're taking that down. And then Facebook says, we don't like this. And Twitter says, we don't like attacks on Hunter Biden. And once you act as a publisher, you're a publisher. You know what it means. I mean, you are a publisher. You can be sued because you're a publisher. But they're platforms, and they can't be platforms and at the same time act like publishers. They should have to check a box. You're going to be a platform, no censorship. If you're not going to be a platform, you don't get immunity. But you can't both have censorship and get immunity at the same time. That's just not fair and not right.
Those are the words of Alan Dershowitz. He's talking about the social media companies and Section 230 of the FCC code, which allows them to get protection from lawsuits, which no other outlet gets. Radio, television, print. If you put something out that could be damaging to someone, they can turn around and sue you. If you post something like that at Facebook or on a tweet that damages or hurts someone else, you cannot have Facebook sued or Twitter sued because you use their platform or someone had used their platform. We do need to review that and go back over it because the problem is they've been doing a lot of censoring at their end. Twitter. I'm looking at a piece here in front of me that Twitter, this is according to The Hill, temporarily blocking users from interacting with posts from Donald Trump over the weekend as he was tweeting out the election was stolen. Users were prevented from retyping, or rather replying to the tweets, or even pressing the like button. Later, Twitter got around and said, oh, our bad, we made a mistake. Okay, now you can do it. Newsbusters doing a survey of Twitter censors against Trump and his campaign against Biden. They point out that Team Trump, since May 31st, 2018, had been censored, suppressed, or limited 486 times. How many for Joe Biden and his team? Not one. Not even one. should be no surprise to you that top execs at Facebook and Twitter also, according to the FCC, donated the maximum amount they could give to the Biden campaign. You know, when I post on Larry Connors USA, anything at all reference any election, even promoting what we're going to cover for the day. I'm looking at what happened yesterday. I promoted states are beginning to certify votes while Trump still insists the election was rigged. Facebook immediately, boom, pounded onto my page. See the results and other info about the 2020 U.S. election. They didn't say I was putting out fake stuff, but they want to tell everybody, hey, what you just read, you need to get the facts. I didn't say there was anything but the fact that they're certifying and Trump still insists it's rigged. And then we've got mainstream media that's been carrying the water for the Dems so long, now going to become pretty much state media. And Jake Tapper helping lead some of them say, you know what? This Trump nonsense, Trump is becoming a terrorist. A terrorist. I'll explain. Please stick around.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Well, I got my first truck when I was three. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is this thing called a stochastic terrorism, which is the idea of leaders putting out falsehoods and demonizing people. And then acts of violence happen, and it can't be directly tied, but there is a responsibility there.
That is CNN anchor Jake Tapper talking about Obama. Oh, sorry. He's talking about Hillary Clinton. Oh, sorry, not Hillary Clinton. He's talking about Trump. He's saying that Trump and what he's doing, a leader publicly demonizing someone or a group, yes, Obama did it, and yes, Hillary did it. Remember all of you deplorables that voted for Donald Trump, and you Nazis, and you crazies, and you racist. When a leader publicly demonizes a person or group, that it then leads to violent acts. It becomes an act of terrorism, and the leader is responsible. Jake Tapper bringing up the term stochastic terrorism. I have to admit, I have not heard that word so long. I thought I need to look up the exact pronunciation and definition again, because I'm not sure if he's used it right or not. It is a noun, according to, what's this source? This is, I'm not sure which dictionary this is, but it basically says a public demonization of a person or a group resulting in the incitement of a violent act, which is statistically probable, but whose specifics cannot be predicted. I know you probably got lost somewhere there. I did. It's the way it's written. Basically saying that someone is saying something that leads to a violent act. And you might say they had something to do it, but you can't really determine it. And, for instance, they use the lone wolf attack, apparently influenced by the rhetoric of stochastic terrorism. Wikipedia definition of it. A long actor terrorist, lone wolf, who prepares, commits violent acts alone, and goes on in talking about that then adds to the issue of terrorism. So Jake Tapper on CNN, because Trump has continued to insist and say the election's being stolen, it was fraud, it's still filled with fraud. Well, when he does that, in Jake Tapper's opinion and his little world, that's basically an act of terrorism. In specific, he was talking about senior White House advisor Stephen Miller, who'd said yesterday that Trump should drag out his efforts to overturn the results even after the Electoral College certifies Joe Biden. Miller has been a senior advisor to the Trump campaign. He brushed off the idea that the Electoral College vote marked any kind of an end to the process. He said the only date in the Constitution is January 20. So we have more than enough time to right the wrong of this fraudulent election result and certify Donald Trump as a winner of the election. He said, as we speak today, an alternate state, or rather an alternate slate of electors in the contested states is going to vote, and we're going to send those results up to Congress. This will ensure that all of our legal remedies remain open. That means that if we win these cases in the courts, we can direct that the alternate slate of electors be certified. That's a really far, far reach, in my opinion. And I had Hans von Spakovsky in the last hour, and he was saying that the getting the states involved would be a last-ditch effort, and he didn't think it would affect really anything either. But it's allowable. It's constitutional. But to even suggest it, Stephen Miller, representing the Trump campaign, even though he's suggesting it, saying we are going to create a separate slate of electors who would give their votes to Trump, by Miller making that remark, again, here came Jake Tapper saying, see, here's a perfect example of how we're going to have terrorism, violence, because of remarks like this from the White House advisor.
It's been a real challenge of this era when people like Stephen Miller go on the president's favorite channel and say things that are just shamelessly false, mm-hmm. or talk about this fantasy land, alternate slate of electors. We don't know if they're cynically lying or if they're intellectually unable to understand the facts or if there's some psychological issue. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because the lies are having an effect.
They're having an effect. And by that, he's talking about it's keeping the Trump base ginned up. Let's phrase it that way. So some of you out there that are Trump supporters and you kind of feel gray and depressed with the weather around you, and now COVID and all the restrictions and now this, you feel even worse. Where's the joy, jubilation, so forth? Maybe it'll be there for Christmas. Well, then he's saying that some folks like you might be open to creating an act of violence because this kind of talk from Stephen Miller from the White House might incite somebody. When Stephen Miller was talking about battleground states creating alternate electors, that is a possibility. Now, nothing in the Constitution nor state electoral processes allows for, quote, an alternate state of electors. I'll make that clear to you. It doesn't. But he's raising the idea that maybe state legislatures would eventually step in to overturn the results, or Congress interceding. I would be against that at this point. You can still say we want to fight to the final day and use all options. That's fine. But what I really have a bigger problem with is that you've got those on the left now using this as an excuse to label anyone that thinks, oh, well, I think we should pursue more. We're not quite done. Don't want to give up yet. Failure is not an option. That they're labeling you now as ripe for terrorists and for terrorism yourself, for you and others like you to kind of start creating violence. Let's put it all in context for you now to once again hear Jake Tapper talking about how he describes what Trump is doing and his supporters like Stephen Miller and what it leads to. Again, Jake Tapper.
There is this thing called a stochastic terrorism, which is the idea of leaders putting out falsehoods and demonizing people. And then acts of violence happen, and it can't be directly tied, but there is a responsibility there. When President Trump and his minions put out these lies, and then we see people in Michigan, afraid electors just doing their job as patriots. And if the state had gone the other way, as it did 4 years ago, they would have cast the electors for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. But it didn't. We see these threats of violence. On one level, it's silly and funny to look at how crazy this all is. But on another level, there are real fears here. And it's tremendously irresponsible.
That's Jake Tapper and his opinion. To my knowledge, and I'm not saying it won't happen, but to my knowledge, there have been no rioting in the streets, no burning of cars. They had a big demonstration in D.C. this last weekend where Trump supporters were marching, and here came the other side to protest them out there marching. And they clashed, some individuals, but it wasn't a mass effort. It wasn't, you know, it's one of those things that it's going to happen if you don't keep control of it. But I've never heard the left in particular use that term to anyone on the left for what they're encouraging. Like Reverend Wright, who was Obama's favorite pastor, and quoted by Raphael Warnock, who's running for Senate in Georgia. No, not God bless America, but God de America, and the chickens are coming home to roost. And remarks of Louis Farrakhan. And then, of course, you have in general how the mainstream media does stories that have an angle and a purpose. We pointed out previously there had not been a lot of stories, if any stories, about Hunter Biden and his laptop in advance of the election by the mainstream media. They were walking around it. They just didn't want to do anything about it. And I've got an example here in front of me that just happened this last weekend involving CNN. Now, I said the other day, and I do believe that there are many on the left in the mainstream media, they may be more than willing to do some of these stories now that Joe has, quote, won, because it might give a reason for Joe to be compromised and for Kamala to step into the Oval Office. But again, Jake Tapper, who just talked about what we need is truth and not this kind of talk, you need to know what they did this last weekend. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So when we're talking about how things are covered by the mainstream media, and as I've said, they did not want to do a lot about Hunter Biden going into the election because they didn't want to do anything that would hurt Joe Biden's chances. And, of course, we also have this Eric Swalwell story about the Chinese spy scandal. By the way, are you aware that the New York Times still has not covered that spy scandal story? Still has not written anything really of any nature about Eric Swalwell, the Chinese spy scandal, the California congressman who's on the House Intel Committee, put there by Nancy Pelosi? And then the Hunter Biden case. CNN did at one time talk about what the New York Post had put the story on in advance of the election. And Jake Tapper, the guy that knows all, says all, and is the one you should listen to, in his opinion, their reaction at that time to the reporting from the New York Post about Biden and the Biden family business interests overseas claimed the allegations are just too disgusting to repeat on the air. But they had no problem about reporting on the P dossier linked to Donald Trump. Well, over this last weekend, Sunday morning shows, because now Biden had apparently clinched the election even before the electoral count made it official, Fox News, NBC, ABC, CBS, their morning programs all did address Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, on the questions about, one, his tax investigation, which Hunter has now admitted he's under, and other questions maybe circling around China, all except for CNN. Jake Tapper, anchoring his program, spent all the time talking about the coronavirus vaccine and election integrity with Al Gore and Stacey Abrams. That's great. Nothing. Nothing. And there's another story that CNN has been trying to ignore, along with MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, New York City Politico pointed out that Governor Andrew Cuomo being accused of sexually harassing a woman. She says, I identify myself as a progressive. I worked for the governor's administration 2015 to 2018. He sexually harassed me for years. Many saw it, watched. I could never anticipate on what I could expect. A media research center reports that ABC, NBC, CBS all ignored her claims in the first 24 hours. On Sunday night, silence from the networks. Monday morning, NBC Today, CBS This Morning, ABC Good Morning America all avoided the accusations against the governor, even though they had a combined 6 hours of available airtime. And CNN, MSNBC didn't mention it either. Andrew Cuomo, his brother, of course, Chris Cuomo, works for CNN. And all this talk about Me Too and protecting the women and believing and supporting them, Governor Cuomo being accused of this, and yes, it's just an accusation. The only response from Cuomo from his office to Fox News is, there's no truth to it. Well, that's fine. He can make that statement. And the woman says, I have no interest in talking to journalists. I'm about validating my experience of countless women, making sure they stop. My worst fear, this continues. Yeah, if you are a leftist, you can get by with a lot of things others would not, right? If you are named Kavanaugh and up for a Supreme Court position, they're going to bring out a person with the same vague remarks as we are getting from this woman, but they're going to make it as fact. And you know where CNN is yet to also deal with Jeffrey Toobin? Jeffrey Toobin, their legal analyst, he's yet to be fired and terminated. Now, he did get cut loose from the New Yorker magazine. Remember, he was on a Zoom call with colleagues, what they were doing, a debate prep type thing in advance of the election and one of the debates. And Jeffrey thought the camera was either off of him or whatever, and he unzipped. And, well, again, the title of their event was supposed to be Election Projection. And maybe he had a different meaning entirely in mind. Now, he was caught doing the deed, still with CNN. New York Times has taken note of that and said Jeff Zucker, the president of Toobin, is a big fan, wants to give him, I guess, more chances. But if you happen to be a conservative, well, you know the punishment. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Make sure you Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.